express my appreciation to each of you for being here this morning. It's encouraging your presence, your interest in spiritual matters, and the opportunity to serve God and to worship Him today. It's an encouragement of edification that we have with one another, that we recognize that we're not in it alone, but that we have one another, and that it's God's plan for us to support and build up one another in our service to Him. I appreciate that that's your desire this morning as well. We've made it to 2021, and you already know that. You were probably as happy as me when the new year rolled over. And we've still got struggles ahead of us. Nobody denies that. There's some in our group that have received the vaccine for the virus. We're thankful for the developments in that. I think all of us are. Whether or not you plan to get it or not yet, or you're still thinking about it, we can all take some thankfulness in the wisdom of man to develop that. But it all comes from God's design, and all comes from what He has put together and created. We pray for a better year, maybe this year, than we had last. And I know that's my prayer. So I have to look and say, what can I do different today than I did yesterday or the day before? Because nothing's going to change unless I make that change as to what I need to do. Last year, I put out for us a Read the Bible in a Year plan. And each week during our Monday memo that comes out Tuesday, my weekly notes, that's what I started calling them, so it sounds better, gives me covered so I can send it Tuesday. I put the chapters and verses that we needed to read for that week. I'd like to continue that this coming year, but I'd like to do it a little bit more intentional, if that's all right with you. And I've selected a different reading plan, if that's okay as well. If it's not, then I guess we'll still be friends afterwards. But I just want to read the New Testament this year. And there's a plan that I selected. I could go through and make it on my own, I guess, and redo it. And plenty of guys do that. But if the wheel's already created, there was no need for me to redo it. So I've printed off a copy of it. It's the 5x5x5. Now, there are other groups that are doing plans that are called that, and they're not this one. This one's better, all right? So it's simply this. You just ask 5 minutes every day, 5 days a week, and you read one chapter. Just read one chapter a day, 5 days a week. It'll take you 5 minutes, and you're done. I think each of us probably has 5 minutes in our day that we can say, I can stop and read a chapter in the Bible. Now, it is just coincidence that it starts with Mark. So, as you go through and read Mark for our Bible class, you're going to be right in line with it. Something else I really liked about the plan was once a quarter, you start the quarter with a gospel. So, we start with Mark, and then in April, I think it's Luke, but you'll look at it and correct me on it. There are several free Bible apps, and this was another reason I selected this plan. You can get it paper, and after I get home today, I have a whole page of resources I'm going to send you, and included in that will be the link to this so you can get it digitally if you just want a PDF copy of it. For those that are home and watching, they can get it that way as well. They don't have to drive up here to the building to get a paper copy. But in the Bible app that I use to read, it's just I think it's Thomas Nelson's Bible app. It's free. They have plans, and this is one of them that's there. The reason I like that, and I use that for reading, I don't always use it for studying, nothing wrong with it for studying, but for just reading, I use it because, one, it keeps track of where I'm at and where I'm supposed to be, and if I haven't read, it gives me a reminder. So it'll pop up on my device and tell me that you need to read or something like that. Another advantage of it that I'm going to send to you today in email is a link to where you can actually go, just click the link and go ahead and add. If you need the app, you can add the app or do it online. And you can add the plan from that link so you don't have to go searching, figuring out how to find it on the app. When you do that, we'll be reading it together. Now, I don't want that to scare you, but what it means is that it has, in that platform, where you can see how far Seaball165, because that's my username, has read and where I'm at, and we can help one another and encourage one another that way. We can also discuss what we're reading and things like that through there. So it's just another avenue for us to do that. It's not a opportunity to look on there in February after our New Year's resolutions have sort of worn off and say, well, I noticed that so-and-so hasn't been reading. I'm going to call them on the carpet about it. It's not that. It's a tool for encouragement. If you're interested in it, click the link and do it. If that scares you and you don't want to do it, then don't click the link. You can get the plan without having to join my little group that's on there, and it's a private group. So I want to share that with you and make that available to you. And the paper copy's back there. Fits in your Bible real well as a bookmark if you want to use it that way. All right, my Bible's open to Deuteronomy chapter 31. And we're going to start this new year off with a lesson centered around what I've been talking about thus far and the importance of reading. I have little doubt that you're listening this morning, whether in the building here or online or later on, and you think that Bible reading is not important. I have little doubt about that. But I do know that it is something that we need to work on, for all of us, including me, and it's what I do every day. We all need to work on it. We all recognize the need in it, and we all recognize that it might be something that we could do better at in our life. And so I want to use the time allotted the next few minutes to just encourage you in doing that. And the way I want to do that is to simply show this little statement to be true in the Bible, that it's not me, that you know, the guy that you pay to preach, that's saying you ought to read, and therefore, because that's what we do, and Coy said it, we're going to do it. I hope that that's some sort of motivation in terms of encouragement to you, but that's not why we read the Bible. It's not because somebody put together a five-day read one chapter of the Bible every day for 5 days sort of plan. And they put that together, they put all that effort into it, and so because they put that effort into it, I'm going to read. But it's because God expects us to be readers. And it's His desire for us, to the point of what we see in Scripture, it has an impact on our life spiritually. When it comes to learning, learning can be accomplished a variety of ways. You can learn something by watching. You can learn something by hearing. You can learn something by experiencing it, like grabbing an electric fence. There's no better way to learn if it's hot than to grab it. It's experiential learning, the technical term for that. But you cannot learn history by experience. Now, I know that we could put together some sort of reenactment of a, let's say, a Civil War battle, and we might learn something from it. But the truth of what happened there cannot be learned by experience unless you were there. So history cannot be truly learned in a fully immersed experiential way. Much of the Bible is history. You can learn it from hearing. We can read it together. You can learn it from reading. Matter of fact, if you hear it and read it, you actually up your chances of learning it as well. And so, there's 260 chapters in the New Testament. We're going to read those this year. If you wanted to just read the whole Bible this year, you'd need to read about 4 chapters a day. I think it takes somewhere around 80 hours is what they estimate to read the Bible all the way through. We have the time to do it. And this reading that I'm talking about and the reading plan that I've suggested to us to use this year is not the check mark to say now I'm spiritual. And now because I've read today, I'm done with my service. Bible reading, I believe, is in supplement to Bible study. And there is a difference between reading and studying something in depth. I might study something in depth in preparation for, say, Bible class or teaching that is much different than if I just sit down to read a chapter. Both are extremely important. God commanded His Word to be read, though. Look here in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 9. So Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the time of the year of remission of debts, at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God, at the place which He will choose, you shall read this law in front of all Israel in their hearing. We are far blessed here that I can talk about some technological device that has the Bible on it. Matter of fact, you could have James Earl Jones read it on that app for you if you like to listen to that good bass voice of his read. He'll read it to you. That's kind of interesting. You could listen to it being read. If you lived in the time of this in Deuteronomy, you've got this book written down that Moses wrote down, the law of the Lord, where God inspired it, Moses wrote it down, and now you're going to go read it. You're going to have to sit there and listen to it. Usually you fast forward to the New Testament. You fast forward, let's say, to like the year 300, 400. You want to go read the Bible? It's real hard to find chapters and verses. They're not included there. You got to go find it on a scroll. Got to roll your way through it. Find that part you're looking for, that part that you're wanting to study. We're far beyond blessed as to what they had here available. But I want you to notice, even in this limited capacity that they might have had at the onset, that the expectation was to read this law. He says in verse 12, to assemble the people, men and women and children, and the alien who is in your town. Did he leave anybody out? Not just the Jews. You've gone into the promised land. That's what he's setting them up for. You're headed into Canaan. And if there be anybody around, you gather them up. And you read the law then, so that they may hear and learn. And that's going to produce fear the Lord your God, which is to be careful to observe all the words of this law. Their children who have not known will hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you're about to cross the Jordan to possess. So I want you to see the connection here. It is not the sermon, although it's inclusive because it's written down, that was the big change. It was reading God's Word that would result in learning God's Word that could result in doing God's Word. They're all in line with one another. If we want to grow spiritually, we're going to do that in God's Word. It is not sufficient for us to listen to a 30-minute sermon or a 45-minute class a couple of times a week, and now we know everything that we need to know about serving God. We're going to have to do more than that. We have to dig in. Now, I'm not saying that sermons or Bible classes aren't important and that hearing the Word read during those times is not beneficial. It certainly is. But it is not sufficient for us to know and learn all that we need to know. We see the same idea in Joshua chapter 8 and verses 34 and 35 where they read the law. And you may be saying to yourselves, well, I've read the Bible. And I want to tell you that's commendable and that's good. And I don't want to discount that at all, because you should, and I should. And you may say, I've read it all the way through, and that, friends, is good. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, he said, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. Bible reading informs us, and it reminds us. Now, I know we hear sermons and we hear points in sermons and we go, I already knew that. And you probably already know this one and the next two that are coming after it. I'm not questioning that you're not already knowing that you need to be reading. But don't we need the reminder? That's the whole purpose here, he says. I'm writing this to you. This is second letter. I'm writing this to stir you up so that you're reminded. So reading the Bible, reading God's Word will give us the new information we might need that we didn't know. And it will remind us and keep us aware of the fact that we are not on our own. That we were bought with a price. And we're to glorify God in our body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 20. When people of the Bible were not reading, they fell into apostasy. Look with me, there's plenty of examples, but I want to look in 2 Kings chapter 22. You just think about all the things that Israel had done, and they found themselves in utter destruction going towards captivity. In 2 Kings chapter 22, you've got this young king, this Josiah. And it says in verse 10, the Lord spoke through his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, the king of Judah, has done these abominations, having done wickedly more than all the Amorites who were in there before them, and has also made Judah sin with its idols. So all these problems that beset and get this all set up, that's chapter 21, before Josiah, by the time you get to chapter 22 and in verse 10, it says, Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. So they were in sin, and they go in, they're going to clean up the temple, and they're going to get rid of all this trash in there. And guess what they find? The law. It's been lost. Here we found it. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. What sort of things did he do? Look in chapter 23, verse 7. He broke down the houses of the male cult prostitutes, which were in the house of the Lord, where the women were weaving, hangings for the Asherah. Look in verse 10. He says, he also defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter pass through the fire for Molech, for this idol. In verse 15, it says, furthermore, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, had made, even the altar and the high place, he broke down. Then he demolished its stones, ground them to dust, and burned the Asherah. Look at verse 21. The king commanded all the people, saying, celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, as is written in this book of the covenant. And notice verse 22. Surely such a Passover had not been celebrated from the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel and of the kings of Judah. So here it was. You find the book. Find the book of the law. Start reading it. And then that book starts to lead the people to listen to reading that book. He calls them not to depart from following the Lord God in His days. You read that in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 30 through 33. In Nehemiah chapter 8, the idea of reading is included in there. That when the children of Israel had come back into the land, that Nehemiah had Ezra take the law. And you remember what they did? They stood up and they listened as it was read. When the children of Israel cried for a king, God gave them a king. He commanded that the king keep a copy of the law and to read it. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 14 through 20. And you know what? If the kings had done that, like Josiah did, I think the history of Israel would be a whole lot different than what's recorded there. If they had simply kept the law, if they had taken it, they had read it, and they had put it into practice, but they didn't. They let those around them influence them. They let the idols of the people around them influence them. They started serving other gods, and God let them be taken into captivity. There's not a whole lot new when you get to the New Testament. God expected all men of all time to read His Word. He expected it in the Old Testament, as we see, He expects it in the New. Look in Luke chapter 4. When Jesus was in the temple, in Luke chapter 4, I want you to notice what they did. Luke 4 and verse 16. He says, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery in the sight of the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. When he spoke in the temple, Jesus was reading. When they had particular questions about religious issues, isn't it interesting that Jesus tells them there's a problem? You need to read. Time and again, the problems arise from lack of reading. God expected people then. He expects people now to be readers of His Word. That's what He desires. It's available for us. You don't have to know Greek. You don't have to know Hebrew. And yet you can read and come to an understanding of His Word. Look with me in Matthew chapter 12. We're reading a little bit more this morning than normal, but when you're preaching about reading, I think it's appropriate to be sure that you're doing some reading in the Scripture. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 3. So here's, we know the background of what's happening in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus and the disciples coming through the fields. They pluck some grain, but it's on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees take issue with it. Now, the Pharisees should have been the folks that knew the law to the T. They were supposed to be the ones that really followed the law. And yet they take issue with this, and notice what Jesus says. Verse 3, have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions, how he entered the house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priest alone? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Some people think that David sinned when he plucked that grain. Some people teach that. I don't think that that's the case. Actually, I think that's what Jesus is saying here, making the point that that wasn't wrong and what the priests do wasn't wrong. But even if we take David out of the equation, what the priest did wasn't wrong. And they were doing this on the Sabbath, and they didn't sin. And so Jesus, in pointing this out, saying to them, you don't condemn David, you don't condemn the priest to break this on the Sabbath, but because my disciples eat a few grains, you're condemning them. That's basically what he's saying here. And what he says is, if you had been readers, if you'd been reading God's Word, you would already know. You wouldn't be making this serious mistake. You wouldn't be making a fuss about this because these disciples are guiltless. You wouldn't condemn the guiltless if you understood about David and you understood about the priest. When you turn forward a few chapters to chapter 19, here he's dealing with people that had a problem understanding God's marriage laws. As I slow down talking and quit twisting my words up here. Matthew chapter 19, the Pharisees came to Jesus testing him, asking him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? He answered and said, have you not read? He who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason a man should leave father and mother and be joined to his wife. Two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Jesus identified the problem. Have you not read? Don't you understand what God's Word is on this? Don't you know? And certainly we'd say, well, they've read that before. But had they truly know it, had they truly studied it and put it into practice? If they had been readers, they wouldn't have had any reason to test Jesus on this. It would have been well understood. They wouldn't have had a question about what he says about what they ask about Moses then in verse 7 as well. They would understand that the marriage bond, the marriage relationship that God put into place, can only be put asunder through fornication or death. Adultery or death, that was it. And one, certainly sin was involved. But man has no right in that relationship to break that husband and wife relationship. Because God says, do not sever it. It should not be severed. Have they not read? Do they not understand? Is this rule of marriage not applicable today? We look at how high divorce rates are. I know what the problem is. Or Jesus said what the problem was. Have you not read? Have you not read about marriage? Reading would have caused them not to reject Christ, you see in chapter 21 and in verse 42. Jesus says to them, do you never read in the Scriptures? Did you never read this? He says, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord. It's marvelous in our eyes. They'd been reading. They would have understood who the Messiah was. They would not have rejected the cornerstone. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are preaching Jesus. They have this lame man in front of the temple that asks for alms. They say, we don't have any money, but we'll give you what we have. And they get up and walk in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. So chapter 4, the Jewish leaders interrogate them. And they say, by what authority do you do this? And they said, it was by the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that we did that. And then they quote this same verse from Psalm 118 that we just read in Matthew chapter 21. It was to point out that Jesus was rejected as this cornerstone, and they crucified him. But he became the chief or the head cornerstone and was raised from the dead. Those folks just needed to read it and believe it and put it into practice. But they had difficulties with it. They had difficulties, and they stumbled over the stumbling stone, and they stumbled over the Messiah being the chief cornerstone. Instead, they relied upon their traditions. And Jesus talked about that in chapter 15 and in verse 9 of Matthew. "For in vain they worship me, teaching as commandments the doctrines of men." They focused in on it. It's a matter of reading. That's a start. Then believing it. And then doing it. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. I want you to notice too that reading was a part of the early worship as well. You see in Acts chapter 2 that Scripture was involved in Peter's sermon. Yes, I know Acts is part of what we'd say Scripture, but notice how he appeals to Scripture in Acts chapter 2. And in verse 16 where he says, "This is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel." So he's going to go quote from Joel chapter 2. Notice in chapter 3 and in verse 22 where he says, "Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from the brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything he says to you.'" Where is he quoting from there? He's quoting back from Leviticus, isn't he? He's using Scripture. Timothy was told in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 13 to be sure that he gives attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. At the end of Colossians in chapter 4 and in verse 16, he tells them to read this letter and to also read the one coming from the Laodiceans. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 27, you read this letter so everybody can hear. Here's the theme: read, read, read. You say, "Well, I'm not much of a reader." Well, a lot of us aren't. Some people find great enjoyment in reading, some people don't. And I know this: God expects it. God wants me to be reading His Word. And you may say, "Well, I've neglected that for whatever reason it might be." Well, if you have, start doing it. If you've been doing it, keep doing it. Reading the Word is sadly neglected by far too many. Paul told the saints at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 3 that they could understand his knowledge in the mystery by reading what he wrote. You know the mystery that he talks about there, that chapter, is that both Jews and Gentiles can be saved. Do we want to understand how to be saved? Read it. He wrote it down for us, made it available to us. The Jews would have difficulty with that. They'd still have difficulty. Those that are Jews today would still have difficulty with it and not believe it. But reading it, one can understand that in Christ Jesus, both Jews and Gentiles can be reconciled to God. It's all a matter of just getting into God's Word and reading from it. We can't learn all that we need to know. Well, maybe that's the wrong way to put it. We may not can learn everything we want in a lifetime. Because I know people that continue and continue and continue study. And no matter their age and years of reading, they continue to learn. It's possible for you to learn by listening to sermons, but you're not going to learn all that you need to know. See, I knew that sentence was in my notes for that reason. You're not going to learn it from these sermons. You're not going to learn it all from Bible class. Those are helpful. But we're going to have to immerse ourselves into reading. So how much are you going to learn this year? You got a new one. Depends on how much time and effort we put into study, how much time and effort we put into reading. So use some daily time for reading God's Word. Then do it. Then teach it to others. It will have marvelous results in our life and in our service to Him, because God wants us to read His Word. Thank you for your kind attention this morning. So appreciate you following along, and I look forward to the year that we have ahead of us and the opportunities we have ahead of us. I pray you'll take part in reading as we look to read through the New Testament this year together. We're going to take the time right now to sing the song of encouragement that Javier selected. If you have needs that need to be known in a public way, if we can help in a public way, let us know as together we stand and as we sing.